Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Will, and I have the great joy of serving as pastor of spiritual formation. And on behalf of our whole clergy, lay, and staff team, I want to welcome you to our communion today. So there's a couple of things that orient us and ground us every week. And the first is letting others know we were present to worship here. So you'll see there's an attendance pad. Would love for you to take time during worship this morning to let us know you were here with us by filling out that attendance pad. You can also do the same if you are worshiping with us online. We can't see you here today, but we feel your presence with us, and we would love to know that you worshiped with us this Sunday morning. One of the ways that God is moving us to be a community of welcome and to be a community that is accessible to all people is through the presence of service dogs in worship. If you see a service dog in worship, we just ask that you would not pet the dog or engage the dog so that the person for whom the dog is helping would not feel uncomfortable and you would not put the dog in a compromised situation. I also want to invite you, if you are a regular member of our church or if you are a regular giver of our church, that we are in a season right now of dreaming with God and planning with a stewardship of our financial resources how we might live into God's vision for year 2024. We're in the season we call faithful giving, and if you are a member or regular giver, you should have received a letter in the mail inviting you into the practice of stewardship and faithful giving. We ask that you would return those letters by November 12th, by mail, and or on November 12th by worshiping with us and offering your faithful giving card in the offering plate. Finally, I want to invite you all to come with us on Wednesday evening, first for dinner in McWhirter Hall at 5:30, and then after dinner into a liturgy that will be led alongside our students at Vanderbilt Wesley Ministry, whereby we will remember the lives of the saints. We're going to engage in a practice of creating luminaries, which mark the lives of those saints who touched us and formed us in the way of Christ and who are now with God in the great communion of saints. We'll then take those luminaries that we create during the dinner hour to the cloister garden and light them up and join together in a litany of remembrance and thanksgiving, after which we will receive the Holy Sacrament of Communion. We'd love for us, love for you to join us for dinner and to let us know that you plan to join us for dinner by registering online. We anticipate that it will be a holy service of remembrance, and we give thanksgiving that it will be led by the future generation of church leaders. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the Lord this day.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship as found in your bulletin. Lord, refresh our hearts in Christ. Allow us to come together faithfully as one body, rejoicing and praising God who loves us unconditionally. With hearts of humility, let us worship, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Loving God, we confess that we have neglected your will to live in community with your creation. Forgive us for the ways we have failed to offer abundant grace to our neighbors. Forgive us for the ways we have denied the restoration of harmony. Forgive us for the times we have forgotten your holy invitation of reconciliation. God of love, have mercy on us. By your spirit and healing hand, mend our brokenness and create in us a new love for holy friendship. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our lesson this morning is Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith towards the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, our my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me or even yourself. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
and invite our adults to be seated. And for our kiddos, if you want to come up here and join me for our children's moment, I've got something I want to show you. Awesome. Come on up. We've got plenty of room. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, we're set. I like your boots. They're sharp. All right, y'all, I have a question to ask you. Does anybody know what this is? Yeah, Martha. It's a costume. Does anybody know whose costume this is? Like, what character? Yeah. This is Chase from Paw Patrol, for all the uneducated. Do you know who's going to wear this costume on Halloween? My dog. You nailed it. Our poor, God bless her, 8.5-year-old, almost 9-year-old lab is going to wear this costume because this is what her beloved Annie chose and picked out for her. So we're going to be Paw Patrol in our house, mostly getting the characters. I'd be curious, what are you all going to be for Halloween? A what? Cindy Woohoo? Yeah. What else? Who else, I should say? Yeah.
Bowser.
Oh, yes. Man after my own heart right there. Yeah. Who else?
Princess Peach.
Okay. So, Bowser, are you going to sing to Princess Peach like Bowser sang in the Super Mario movie? Okay. Just had to check. That would be quite the ordeal. So, what I want you all to hear today is that you do not need to put a costume on. You don't need to be a superhero. You don't need to pretend to be about the work of God. God wants to use your everyday, ordinary life to bless other people, to bless people in your school, to bless your teachers, to bless your neighbors, to bless your friends on the playground. You don't need to dress up into anything special to be used by God to bring peace and joy to other people. So while we're going to have a lot of fun dressing up on Tuesday, I pray that by Wednesday morning, you would trust that God wants to use you exactly how you are. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we give you great thanks that you are forming all of us into the character of Jesus Christ, and that you are sending us to the ends of the earth, right here in our own schools and at our playgrounds and in our neighborhoods, to be a blessing to all people. Might we experience the joy of making new friends and having them watch over us in love. Amen. All right, if all 3 to 5-year-olds want to follow Pastor Maggie to Children's Church, you can go from there. Have fun. Bring me some candy, okay, guys? So, friends, we are still about the work of reading the Bible through the year. We're nearing the end. And I just want to name that for the record, we just read an entire book of the Bible. Amazing, right? We just read an entire book of the Bible. And I just want to also name the difference between when I was preaching with you last and we read a snippet of Ezekiel, and so many of you came up to me and said, I just couldn't make it through Ezekiel. We just made it through Philemon. So congratulations to you and to us. With that word of encouragement, would you pray with me? May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For truly you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So over the last 4 months, our family is discovering one of the underappreciated curiosities of moving. And that's the issue of mail. So every once in a while, Kate or I will go to the mailbox and we'll open up the mailbox. And inside the mailbox are letters and cards and advertisements addressed to other people. not to us. Likewise, from time to time, we get a text from a friend who lives in our old home saying that they received some of the business and even the bills of our life in their mailbox 550 miles away in Raleigh, North Carolina. We are in this place of vulnerability where literally the mail shows that our lives and the business of our lives are scattered in between, that we don't hold them just to ourselves. This morning, as we read Philemon, I couldn't help but feel like we had received and were reading someone else's mail. Did anybody feel that way too? Over the course of the month of October, we've heard Paul address churches in an entire city, like in Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or Philippians. But today, Paul is addressing Philemon and a small group of Christians and the church that, did you hear it, meets in Philemon's home. And of the 335 letters used in this letter, I want to give you a spoiler alert. My sermon will be longer than the reading of the letter. Of the 335 words used in this letter, so many of the words that were used were about family and connection and intimacy, encouragement, sharing, partnership, my heart, brother, sister, fellow soldier, father, child. And yet there's one word that rings dissonant with that overarching theme and feeling of intimacy and mutuality. Slave. When we read Philemon, it's really important for us to recognize two realities. The first is that while many have sought to differentiate the slavery of the ancient world with the chattel slavery that constituted the North American slave trade that we so painfully know here in the United States, though there are differences, this is still slavery. This is a legal system that upholds a reality where one person has possession of another human being's labor and life. This is a legally upheld system that is setting up a dynamic where Philemon is master and Onesimus is slave. This is a system that traps Onesimus in this identity. It robs him of his agency to use his gifts to break out and be liberated. And profoundly, in the legal system of the ancient world, Onesimus as a slave was prohibited from legally marrying and so creating his own family. The other reality it's very important for us to recognize is that we cannot see the full picture of what is happening between Philemon and Onesimus. If you open up your Bible, you will see the assumption that many have made in the study Bibles, the wisdom through the years, that maybe what has happened is that Onesimus has run away from Philemon, or that there's some breach financially in their relationship. And so Onesimus has come to find safe shelter with Paul. I really appreciate more modern interpretations, like our very own Professor Jen Quigley, who's a New Testament professor at Vanderbilt. As she reads this letter, she wonders if Philemon actually loaned Onesimus to care for Paul while Paul was in prison, and maybe even Paul kept Onesimus longer than was anticipated. And so this letter is Paul checking in with Philemon. And y'all, newsflash. Apple has yet to release the technology that allows us to go back 2,000 years in FaceTime with all the parties involved in this letter. Maybe that's the conference they're going to announce this week, the product they will announce at their spooky conference this week. But while we cannot know for certain what is happening between Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, we do know that one thing has happened that has changed everything. And that is that Onesimus has become a Christian. He has been born into an identity by grace as God's beloved one. And this identity liberates him from the shackles of being only a slave. And so empowers him with the gifts of God's Holy Spirit to have agency and to be a co-laborer and to be a partner in this new reality called the gospel. And this law of God's love has tethered him by faith and by hope into a new family of brothers and sisters we call church. The gospel has given him identity and agency and family that the law of the land was denying him. Really, what is at the heart of this letter is how God is sweeping up Onesimus' story into the love story of God. And Paul is calling Philemon to respond to the work that God is doing to liberate Onesimus from his bondage as slave, to receive Onesimus into the home with full welcome, and to discover Onesimus' gifts as Onesimus now becomes the one who leads Philemon and teaches Philemon how to grow up into Jesus Christ. And while that is remarkable, we have to name the painful reality that we so wish this occasion would have been the opportunity when Paul uniformly denounced the evil of slavery as incompatible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much harm from the church, how much human misery and suffering would have been spared if this occasion would have led to that public announcement. And yet what we are learning in reading this letter, we are being reminded of how deeply Paul imagined the gospel and the details and the drama of our everyday lives. You can map the whole ministry of Jesus Christ into how Paul communicates with this church that's meeting in Philemon's home. The call of Jesus to bring disciples from all sorts of trades into the ministry of the gospel continues with Paul mentioning names like Archippus and Apphia and Damas and Luke. The ministry of Jesus confronting the rich young ruler continues with Paul confronting Philemon and calling him to lay down any opportunity for profit and financial gain so that his brother in Christ, Onesimus, might be liberated. The journey of Jesus to the cross continues with Onesimus returning home and returning to a place of former bondage and maybe even potential enemies. The joy of the resurrection, Jesus being raised from the dead on Easter Sunday, continues its spread as we anticipate that Philemon's church would receive Onesimus with full welcome and discover his gifts as a beloved brother. And last but not least, y'all, the business of the church continuing its work of Jesus until Jesus returns in final glory, it continues in something as mundane as Philemon preparing a guest room for Paul. The gospel, my friends, is as universal as it is local. It's as spiritual as it is practical. It's as public as it is personal and private. The business of our everyday lives is the venture of God's enterprising grace, always and everywhere, as we celebrate in the Holy Sacrament of Communion. Always and everywhere. The Holy Spirit is summoning us to bear witness to an alternative way of life that is built on the basis of love in the lives that we actually have, not the lives that we wish we had or hope to have someday. And my holy hunch is that this is what the world so deeply longs for in the church, a people who not only preach justice, but who live justly in the affairs of their everyday life, and the ordering of their businesses, and the way they treat and compensate their employees, and caring and cultivating for the earth that is just beneath their feet, not the earth so far away. And actually knowing the names and the stories of our unhoused brothers and sisters who sleep on our porch or who are being drawn in community at Centennial Park. My holy hunch is that this is what we in the church really want. This glimpse of holy friendship that is laced throughout the entire letter, where there's this mutuality of love and self-sacrifice that we share together, that we know so fully who we are as God's beloved, that we can actually share and name hard truths, and we can expose one another's hidden sins, and we can do hard things together, as together we compel each other to go beyond what the law demands on the basis of love. John Wesley called this watching over one another in love. And it's how he grounded the early Methodists so that they might be faithful in the integrity of their public witness as privately they were growing up into Christ, as they were growing in grace. If you were here last week, you'll remember that Pastor Carroll said that grace is the bread and butter of how we as Methodists understand God and ourselves and our mission in the world. It is our foundational theological commitment. And if that is so, the practice of 5 to 15 fellow pilgrims meeting together in homes and sharing life with one another, what Wesley called bands or small groups, that is our core practice for growing into our theology of grace. Because here's the reality, my friends. I can't grow up in grace without you. Because discipleship is a team sport. And we need each other examining and looking into one another's lives and naming the contradictions between our public professions and our private allegiances. We need each other to encourage each other when the details and drudgery of our daily lives prohibit us from seeing the long view of the triumphant saints. We need each other to share in our joys, not in the competitive sport of comparison, but in this way of naming that your joy, your win is my win. And the reality is that as we form these connections of mutuality and self-sacrifice and shared joy, God goes about the work of healing the corrosive cynicism and deadly division and social injustices of our time, one holy friendship at a time. So friends, this is really my long-winded way of saying, I really need you to receive and read my mail from time to time. I need your help. I need you to care so much about my growth in Christ that you concern yourself with the business of my everyday life. This is in some ways my long-winded way of asking, is it okay if I and trusted others look into your life too? That we encourage one another and we ask each other questions, not just about our spirituality, but about how we are growing up into Christ and the character of Christ and the lives that we actually have. For in watching over one another in love, and for allowing God to get up all in our business, you could say, we actually experience the adventure of co-laboring and becoming partners with God in this new reality called the gospel. We experience the shared joy of living justly in beloved community. We experience the freedom of the life that is really life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada found on page 883 of your hymnal and in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, as we come into our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed around. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person and situation. Please keep in your prayers Doug King and his family as they mourn the death of his mother, Mary Bird King, who passed away on October 24th. A memorial service will take place in Cookeville, Tennessee, at a later date. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for loving us more than we can ever love you. Help us to see that we are your created masterpiece, designed to love and for love. Just God, help us to remember the words of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, and to open our eyes to our own privileged identities that blind us to the ways that we unconsciously act unjustly towards our neighbors. Liberating God, help us to see that freedom for all is your divine design for your beloved. Free us from those parts of ourselves that make us feel powerless and cause us to assert power over others instead of sharing power with others. God of peace, make us uncomfortable and uneasy with simply being peacekeepers. Instead, give us the boldness, courage, and willingness to be peacemakers. God of all that is, hear our prayer. Amen. Now, please join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together, given to us by Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has given so generously to us.
Please be seated. We have had the joy of having quite a number of people join us in the last few months, and that is no difference today. Today is a membership Sunday where we get to invite into our family those who want to make this a part of their own family. So if you are joining today, I want to invite you to come forward. So please come and stand up here at the railing, and we will introduce you and bring you into the life of this congregation. This morning at the 8:45 service, we had six join us. Today, we will have six joining us in this service, and then we'll have about five that are going to join us next month. So we're very excited about what God is doing in our midst. First, I want to introduce you to, I'm going to turn my page here, Linda and Willard Finch. They come to us from Dixon First United Methodist Church. Linda's an insurance agent through Woodman Life, and Willard is retired from the military. They both love to get involved in ministries that serve our neighbors who live in homelessness, and this is a great place to do that. Cindy Watson comes to West End from Christ UMC in Franklin. She's a retired psychotherapist and previously raised her children in this congregation, so she is very happy to be back home with us. Alicia Driver is joining us today. Angela, I apologize for that. Angela Driver is joining us today. She has been a part of our congregation for some time and has decided to make this part of her home. She is the neighbor to our very own Matthew Downton, and so we are happy to have you as part of the family, Angela. Sulbin Lee is a PhD student in ethics and society at Vanderbilt and comes to us by way of Glenn Memorial United Methodist in Atlanta, Georgia. She'll become an affiliate member of West End as she is a certified candidate for ministry in the North Georgia Conference. She's passionate about the well-being and lives of others, loves fitness and cooking, and wants to learn how to bake southern dishes like cornbread and banana bread. So if you know how to do that, come talk to her. She would love to listen. Andrew Callis and his spouse, Kevin Wilco, are no stranger to West End. Andrew is one of our administrative staff people here at the church. Kevin is a retired retail manager. Kevin's excited to join the family called West End, and Andrew has studied many of the world religions and believes they all want us to unite under a single calling to love and care for one another. And Jessica Davis has been in Nashville for some time and works in government relations and communications, and we are so excited to have you a part of this family. Now to you all. Would you please stand in body or in spirit as we welcome our new family members? This first question is for you, Jessica. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And to everyone standing up here. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, we faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. If so, say, I will. Wonderful. And to all of us here, family of God, Cindy, Linda, Willard, Jessica, Andrew, Kevin, and Angela are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this nation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I want to invite each of you to come and to greet them as we go out into Reed Hall after the service. Welcome them in to the family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, might we go forth into the world this day to so endeavor to watch over one another in love that we discover ourselves as partners with God in the gospel work of creating beloved community. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen.